Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Training Show with your host, Skip LaCour. Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Training Show is a weekly talk radio program that discusses any of the challenges that you face as you strive to create the best body you possibly can and outlines solutions. This is your opportunity to talk with Skip about what's most important to you in your training efforts, share your thoughts and opinions in an open forum, and learn from the experiences of other passionate lifters just like you at the same time. Skip LaCour is a six-time national champion and whose leadership and coaching continues to guide bodybuilders around the globe. Here is the host of this bodybuilding and training show, Skip LaCour.
All it takes is one new strategy, one new idea, one new distinction, or one new way of looking at the same old challenge that you've been going through in your bodybuilding and training efforts that can launch you into a new level of physical and mental growth. Welcome to this bodybuilding and training talk radio show. I am Skip LaCour. Hey, if you could ask me one question that could launch you into that new level of growth, get some clarity, some certainty, maybe some validation that what you're doing is going to lead you where you want to go, what would that question be? Hey, all you need to do is call in with a question. Heck, you can just give me a comment, anything you want to talk about on today's show, and I'm going to give you a free gift. I'm going to give you my book, Skip LaCour's Packing on Muscle, Max OT Style. It explains all my training philosophies, the mental, emotional, the physical, intertwined with the Max OT training principles outlined by AST Sports Science Sports Nutrition. 154-page ebook. I sold thousands of them in 54 countries all around the world. $24.99 value. It's yours free. Now, gentlemen, I see the lines are lighting up. People want to take advantage of this and get their questions answered. This is how it works. You call me up. I have your phone numbers all logged. Now it's your responsibility. You're a person who takes action. When you hang up the phone, just send me an email at skip@skiplacour.com. skip@skiplacour.com. Give me your phone number and I'll send that ebook out to you right away. Skip LaCour is Packing on Muscle Max OT Style. Where are you right now with your bodybuilding training efforts, and what's the next level for you as you strive to create that body that you really want, not one you're settling for, the one you really want? And if you're already doing well and you have that angst inside and you're trying to get to the next level, even though you know you should be happy, you still want more. Remember something, that's okay. What is that for you? And what's stopping you from getting there? If you want to make improvements and you want to make them effectively, efficiently, and in the shortest period of time, you're going to have to know exactly what it is you want. And then from there, getting what you want, finding the best combination of training, nutrition, nutritional supplementation, and the mental strategies are going to be a lot easier once you know what you want. As I coach bodybuilders and fitness enthusiasts all over the world, two things always come up. It's not about, oh, how to eat this or train like this, because, you know, I can give you a training program. I can give you an eating program. If you follow me blindly on blind faith, and then you got the rest of your life in order, you got your head in order, you're going to see results. And I find with my coaching, it's getting people's head on a little bit tighter, so that they can actually do the things they know they should do, and aligning up their lives and their priorities in lives to help them get that physique that they want. Now, many times they don't understand. They think they can do this, and they think they can do that with their lives, and have certain situations, life events happen, or not put priorities on this, and still have the physique that they want, because somehow they believe that the guy down the street or down the other side of the gym has this wonderful life without sacrifice, or minimal sacrifice, and he has great physique, so they say, hey, I want what he's having. Well, we don't know what he's doing. It's your belief that he isn't lining up all his resources, all his life, and I'm here to tell you that's just not how it works. So we're going to concentrate on you. We're going to get your head in order. We're going to get your life in order, and you'll be surprised a lot of times. Call me up with your challenge. The number is 347-326-9145. Again, that number is 347-326-9145. Sometimes you're going to find out that all the things that make you successful when it comes to your bodybuilding and training, a lot of times I find out it's not, you're getting results, but they're not for the reasons why you think you're getting them. And your setbacks, the things that are holding you back from that physique, a lot of times they're not happening for the reasons why you think they're not happening. And that's where I can use my 18 years of experience striving to be the best physique, doing 15 years of contest at the highest level, all that pushing myself made me get the distinctions, made me find out the different strategies. You combine that with the fact that I've been writing for the muscle magazines for 15 years. I had to find distinctions. I had to come up with the new ways of looking at things. And when you combine the fact that all those two factors with the fact that I've had 25 years in the motivation, personal development field, I am the man who can help you break through your physical, mental, emotional challenges with your training, with your nutrition, with your nutritional supplementation, how to organize that and put that in the proper hierarchy of valuing them. And then, again, what's most important is organizing your life and using all your mental abilities and aligning all your emotional resources so you get the most out of yourself. I'm going to go right to the phone lines right now. We have a call from the 507 area code. Caller, are you there? 507.
Yes, Skip, this is Kevin in Rochester, Minnesota.
Kevin, how are you, sir?
I am fantastic. How are you doing this morning?
I am awesome, thank you. Awesome as always, right?
Yeah, awesome as always. That's right. That's right.
Kevin, how can I help you today?
Okay, well, Skip, I am getting ready to go into recovery week. I'm
okay.
The cycle, and I'm just curious about nutrition for recovery week. Do you alter it in any way in terms of when you're taking the bulk of your carbs during your day, or just overall calories? I mean, what are your thoughts on nutrition for recovery week?
Okay, that's a great question. Now let's explain to everybody, take a step back, Kevin, for everyone else, or what a recovery week is. Kevin, you adhere to the Max OT training principles, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so let's talk about that for everyone else out there. The Max OT training principles, I've used that for over 15 years now. It's maximum overload training, where it's intense training, one body part once a week, basically. You take the weekends off, you're in the gym for an hour or less, efficient, effective, all right? Max OT training was developed by AST Sports Science, www.ast-ss.com, AST Sports Science, Sports Nutrition. You can go to their website at www.ast-ss.com. If you go to the lower right-hand corner of the front page, you can click there, sign up for a free program that takes you into a special website that explains all these Max OT training programs that I'm going to be talking to Kevin about, and in future callers that you'll hear that come up a lot. So if you're training out there, you're trying to put it all together, you hear about all these different routines, take my advice. If you're listening to the show, go to the AST Sports Science website, sign up for the Max OT training program, follow the training programs as outlined. What I want you to do for at least 3 months, if you're new to this, is just follow it blindly. Just take the leap of faith. Put all your energy into getting your life organized so you eat all those 6 meals a day. Then you find out the things that Kevin's talking about right now. You're at the next level. Don't spend all your time wondering, oh, am I doing the right training program? Well, what about this? Causing so much overwhelm and uncertainty that you don't follow through at all. Okay, put that part of it, the training part, which is really the easiest part. Would you agree, Kevin, when you understand the principles, that the training part, what to do in the gym is the easiest part. What the toughest part is aligning all your mental and emotional resources and your time management so you actually get to the gym and actually do what you already know what you're supposed to do. Have you found that out after the Max OT training principles have been lined out for you?
Yeah, it's much more of just a mind game and consistency. I mean,
right, it's
really
getting it's giving every ounce of oomph into the every set and rep you do, rather than going, well, I should do this. Should I do how many exercises? how many different body parts and all that. That's all taken care of you for you. Now, I know that I have 18 years of all this going at such a high level, and I'm telling you, oh, this is that part of it's easy. Now, I understand if you've been training for a year or 6 months or you just can't get into the gym, some guy's telling you how easy it is to do these principles. I know that could be frustrating. That's why I just want to follow the program as is, outline, and then learn what it is, okay? Put all your energy into other areas of all this bodybuilding and training lifestyle, okay? Now, Kevin talked about Recovery Week. Now, in the Max OT training programs, we want you to go all out with intensity, focus, follow it up with your nutrition, okay? Break down the muscles. That's how they grow. They initiate the process in the gym. You rest and recover the rest of the week, and you help yourself recover with the proper eating habits, all right? Well, every 8 to 10 weeks, we want you to take an entire week off out of the gym. All right. Now, I know you're pumped up. You've got 8 to 10 weeks of great momentum working, and you're thinking, oh, I don't want to take a week off the gym. Kevin, is that how you're feeling as you go into this recovery week?
Well, sure. I mean, one of the things I found as I transitioned from a more traditional kind of, 8 to 12 rep, more traditional or classic bodybuilding style to the Max OT styles, it's been really fun pushing a heavier weight. I mean, it's just fun to do that. And so the fact of having to take a week off, I kind of like, what am I going to do with myself?
I know exactly what you're talking about. And for years, I just wouldn't. And I encourage you to take the leap of faith and follow the program exactly as it's outlined. Well, I'm telling you, I know the emotional challenges while doing that. And also, I know that's the way that you feel, Kevin. I know that's how these guys out here are just pumping it out there and really loving it. They're having the same challenge because I have that same challenge. Now, what I'm trying to have you do and everyone out there is don't go through the same mistakes that I made. Well, I was hardcore, Kevin. I mean, nothing's going to stop me. I was going to put more work into it. And especially before I started training with Max OT, if I could train three on, one off, heck, then it became three on, none off, More work to me meant better results because I was that dedicated, I was that focused, I was having that much fun with it. Well, then I took the leap of faith because I wanted to improve so badly to the Max OT training program, and boom, things just really started happening. I started understanding it's intensity in the gym. It's like you said, it's going for that heavier weight. It's really challenging yourself, having fun with it, and then letting those body parts recover. And then that's how the whole process, that's how it goes. But you have to feel it. And so when it came to the week off, even when I was doing it, I wouldn't take the week off because I didn't like what I didn't like was the feeling after the recovery week when I wasn't quite as coordinated. Now, that also is in line with a new training regimen because in the Max OT training principles, not only am I going to take a week off every 8 to 10 weeks, I'm going to go to a different routine, meaning that the body part maybe I trained on Monday, let's say it was legs on one routine, it might be on Wednesday the next week. I might be training chest on Monday. All right, so my whole pattern was different. So, and also the exercise, the order of the exercises would change. So a lot of times I didn't like that discomfort or that awkward feeling or I couldn't do as much weight. It wasn't just about the week off of training. It was more that the whole routine changed. And I'll tell you, how it is, Kevin, you change the day that you work out a body part or you change the order of the exercises. You can do the same, three or four exercises. You change the order, you're going to change the whole exercise, the whole amount of weight, the whole coordination level. So I didn't like that feeling, and so I would skip those weeks off. When Paul DeLeo of AST Sports Nutrition, the creator of the Max OT program, finally convinced me that I need to take that week off, boy, that's when I really got results. And when I started seeing, I took the leap of faith, I started getting those results, and I started dealing with the awkwardness, because I knew it didn't matter in the big picture, all right? That's when I became more and more and more comfortable with that, taking that week off, just relaxing and enjoying life, all right, getting that extra hour of sleep or whatever it is. So knowing that I'm getting better results by taking that week off, which is so counterintuitive than the way we think a lot of times when it comes to life and when it comes to training, when I realized that was giving me better results, Over time, I got more comfortable with taking that week off. So just for you, Kevin, and everyone out there, when it comes to following the principles, taking this rest or recovery week off, just remember that. I went through your challenge. Follow me on this one. Don't go and make the same mistakes that I made. You know, get your growth going and feel that certainty and confidence with me as your coach, as your friend, telling you it doesn't matter in the big picture. So one more point before I answer your question, Kevin. Rest and recovery. You beat up the body parts. You train them. You train them every week, once a week. And then every 8 to 10 weeks, you just let the whole body recover. You let it mend. You let it grow. You let the muscles get extra time during that week to recover, so you start blasting them again. You stimulate the muscle growth by causing that trauma, training in the gym. You eat right, you recover all week long, good eating habits, rest and recovery, not training the body part too many times during the week. Every week you let it fully recover. That's what's going to give you the results over the best results over the shortest period of time. Again, I know it sounds counterintuitive. Gentlemen, follow the program as outlined. So, Kevin, your question was, what are you doing during that week? And especially, specifically when it comes to your nutrition, all right? Well, if you're doing all the MaxOT training principles when it comes to your nutritional habits, then you're bracketing your workouts, whether you train in the morning or in the evening. So there's a different philosophy on eating before and after your workout. So if you're not working out, then you're not going to bracket that way. What I would do, Kevin, is just over the course of your day, pick out your 6 or 8 meals. How many meals do you eat during the day, not including your pre- and post-workout nutrition?
Five.
Okay. I would just plan out maybe 6 meals a day. You know, just know the general amount of calories that you eat. Break it into 6 meals a day. You can do it evenly spaced throughout the day. You know, details like, you know, sandwiches that are shoving them most into the beginning of your day or the middle of your day or the latter part of your day. I know that there's a lot of nutritional strategies out there. Remember, we're here in the long haul. We're not looking at just a week. We're certainly not looking at just so specific on some magic strategy during the 1 week during recovery, right? Just eat those 6 meals evenly spaced out through the day. Know your parameter of calories. Balance them all and just follow through for those 7 days, same way you would probably eat on your days off from training. Because in the big picture, those 7 days aren't going to matter in a 14-week cycle of training. Certainly isn't going to matter in 3 months or 6 months what you eat during those, five. And really, it's not even 7 days. It's 5 off days of training. Does that make sense to you, Kevin?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So,
yeah, so, you know, when it comes to that, remember, we're in the long haul. We just want to feed our body evenly throughout the day, keep our habits up. Don't go, you know, crazy. And since you're a little off schedule, I know this is going to feel a little awkward. You're going to be a little off schedule. And so you might get up a little late, and then your meals all fall in line. Go into your week off of your recovery week with a plan. Like I said, those 6 meals, you know exactly what time they're going to be. 7 a.m., 10 a.m., 1 p.m., 4 p.m., whatever it is, have it outlined, follow through. Very similar to how you would eat on your days off from training, all right? We don't need to make that too specific, too scientific, because before we know, we're right back into our week of training. All right, Kevin?
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
All right, sir. Hey, well, call back if you have any more questions. I'll try to get you in at the end of the hour, if that's possible. Sure.
Watch the Olympics a lot. I enjoy doing that. And if some of your listeners need some inspiration, they should turn it on and watch these, you know, 105-pound women lifting twice their body weight over their head.
Right. Yeah. You know, that's a great point, too. I tell you, is that fortunately or unfortunately for you, if you get some really stud in the gym who is really focused, really carries himself, really trains hard, it's easy to get his momentum, you know, get that inspiration like you're talking about from the Olympics. A lot of times what I call on men to do, and I talk about this in my Man Formation radio program and the whole Man Formation program, is sometimes you have to step up and be leaders because you don't have that stud or that person in the gym who's just as determined as you. So a lot of times, yeah, I do the same thing. I look for sources of inspiration. That's a great one, too. Hey, thanks a lot for that, Kevin. All right, now we have a caller from the 814 area code. Caller, are you there? 814. Caller,
yes.
Are you
Hi,
there?
Skip. Yes,
hello
I'm
there.
Here. This is Susan from Pennsylvania.
Susan, how are you today?
I'm well, thank you. I've called a couple of times and you've helped me.
Yeah, you did well in your contest.
You remembered, yeah. I had a contest in May, and you helped me a great deal with the sodium and water manipulation, and realized during those last couple of weeks when I was still trying to get my glutes and hams, you know, to come in nicely, that I felt like I lost some muscle during those last couple of weeks with lots of cardio. So my question for you is, I guess maybe what has been your experience with show prep in terms of I've read about doing more cardio earlier out in the game versus, you know, trying to really pick it up and having to do a crazy amount of cardio in the end to get the last, you know, bit of shredded look to come in nicely for you. And I've got a show in about 13 weeks, and I'm doing about 4 max cardios a week, and I've added a couple of moderate cardios a week. And I guess I'm just wanting to know what has been your experience with the whole cardio and show prep experience.
Right. Okay, those are really good questions. Let me just start with your belief at the end, because with my experience with helping competitive bodybuilders all over the world, I hear that a lot. If you go to the message boards, if you look at those bodybuilding message boards, Susan, you'll hear that all the time. Oh, I lost so much size at the end. I was looking good, you know, 2 weeks before, and then I lost a lot of muscle. Well, two things. One, if you're eating properly, meaning you're eating enough calories and you're training hard and heavy, you can't lose muscle that quickly. It's an illusion because you know how it is. I mean, how many pounds, Susan, did you lose between Friday night and by the time you weighed in on Saturday morning? I mean, how much of a water weight difference did you lose? Do you remember?
You know what? I don't know that it was probably only a pound or two between Friday and Saturday, but that probably from Tuesday to Saturday, I lost about 7 or 8 pounds.
Seven or eight pounds the week of my show. And what's your contest?
Contest weight was 102 pounds.
Okay. See that? You lost 7 pounds of fluid.
Yes.
102 pounds. Yo, well, that's that. Do you understand that that's 6% of your body weight that you lost between in that last week?
You see and I get that that wasn't muscle, that that was fluid manipulation, and that's what helped me to look well. And
Let me interrupt you here too, just for everyone else, not for you, Susan, because I can tell you're a competitor. You put a lot of thought into this. You're a person who calls this show several times. You did well in your show. You understand these principles. There are a lot of people in our general listening audience that don't understand this. And for those of you who don't compete, there's a lesson that you can learn out of this too. Now, so 7 whole percentage points, okay? For you guys out there who think, oh, I'm 12% or I'm 15% body fat or 6% or 3%, you know, she lost 7 pounds of water in a 102-pound frame. The difference is if you have 15% body fat, if you lost 6% of your body weight, that would take you down to 9%. There's a big difference in the guys in the gym saying they're 15% body fat versus 9%. All right. So that's number one, is the body holds a lot of fluid. What Susan did was manipulate all those fluids to give her that ripped look on stage. And here's the thing, too, for you, Susan, is that it's not how much you weigh. It's really not when you're in your mirror a couple days before flexing under your bathroom lights, where they make the lights complimentary and things like that. That is not the same person who's underneath those lights during the show. I talk about this all the time. I won shows because I was the hardest working bodybuilder, not necessarily the best shape, not necessarily the biggest. I mean, I know that you see my in the magazines when I'm there all by myself, I seem so big. Now, a couple things. I'm standing by myself, number one. And number two, it's photography. You know, they put you at the right angles and the right legs, so you do look huge, okay? And more natural bodybuilders would take the time to just not compete, go to their show, spend their money, their time, their persuasion and influence to get themselves in front of a real photographer, not someone with some digital camera standing 8 feet away in front of some, you know, painted curtain. You try to get yourself in front of a professional bodybuilding photographer, you'd look that massive too. When it comes to being on stage, it's an illusion of size. So, I mean, I'll tell you this, is that Susan looked a million times better with that 7 pounds less of fluid, regardless of what she thought of herself the day before. And you know what? When you're out, it's time for that show and you're under those lights, you don't know what you look like from the fifth row, and you never will until you see pictures, all right? So that's the other thing. It's an illusion. It's an illusion. It's an illusion of size. You want to create that illusion. You can't go by what it feels like. I mean, I'll tell you, when I was at my best, my body weight was so light. Susan, are you going to do shows in the future?
Yes, I hope to. I'm really enjoying it and feel passionate about it right now, yes.
Good, okay. Now, do you have access to my members-only website?
I thought I did.
Okay, well, if you want access, it's 4 years of contest preparation. I mean,
okay.
4 years of training, 2 years back-to-back of national championship victories. It's a journal every single day where
I
document that. And send me an email, everyone out there, whether you're listening to this live or in a podcast version, to skip@skiplacour.com. I'll send you a free username and password in that website, and you'll see how I documented all my thoughts and how my body was reacting and everything that I did. Now, what this will do for you, Susan, is that next time it's 13 weeks before your next show, you're not going to think, well, how did I think about this? Or what was I doing exactly then? It'll be all documented. That's why I kept on building. I kept on getting better and better in time. Even as I got older, I got better and better because I took the time. First of all, I did it for myself. Second of all, that became my business of documenting and giving these strategies out to you over the internet. Well, I found out where it made me so much more effective and efficient on my contest preparation because I wasn't reinventing the wheel because I didn't remember things. So I get questions all the time. Hey, Skip, what do you do if you have a contest that are 2 weeks apart? Well, there'd be things that would happen to me even after years of experience, like maybe my ankles. And you remember you did a sodium loading depleting processes. You know, it'd be a week later and your ankles look like they were 5 times their size. You were holding so much fluid, right?
Didn't notice that.
I would have that, and then I would be freaking out, thinking, when is this water going to go away? I could go back to my journal and look on the exact Saturday between the two shows. I wrote down those same thoughts, and then I could see that, you know, the water went away. So that's where documentation is important. Here's the other thing is I want you to bring a scale to this show because what I want you to do is I want you to document the water weight loss not only after prejudging, okay? I want you to do it right before you step on stage because you do that process, I bet you lost another couple pounds before weigh-in and when you actually stepped on stage. But you have to bring a scale with you. See, for years, I found out that my best contest weight was 216 pounds. I'm 5'11", right? 216 pounds. And that was a Thursday at the weigh-in because every single year the Team Universe was, you know, basically the same time of year. The weigh-in was the same. And so I would tell everyone, hey, my contest weight is 216. Yeah, that's my best weight. And that's what I would always, if I got on that scale on Thursday and I was 216, I would think, wow, I'm right on, all right? Well, I brought that scale with me, and I brought it to the hotel, and I would weigh myself right before we went on stage for the night show, just a day later. Do you know that all those pictures that I, and all my contest weight where I thought I was 216, even before I thought I was 232, I actually weighed 205 pounds when I was on stage. 5'11", 205. That's the real weight. That's what, with all the water and everything that I weighed. Now, those are very impressive numbers for a heavyweight bodybuilder. 5'11", 205 pounds. But it doesn't matter. It's the illusion that it created on stage. Now, let's get back to your question. You wanted to know about those hamstrings and glutes. Is it best to, let me just answer the question. I've always felt it's always better to eat as much food as you, clean food, as you can humanly, whatever's humanly possible, so you continue to continue to gradually get lean, lose body fat. You want to eat as much food and as far out as possible. Now, I'm a crazy nut. This was my life. I was so determined to be the best. The Team Universe, for example, that would be my Mr. Olympia, my Super Bowl bodybuilding contest. It would be every August. I would clean up my diet where I would have no junk food from January 2nd, all the way till August. So at that time, I'd be eating like 3,700 clean calories over those 8 meals a day or whatever. And I never really got out of shape. And I would get my body used to eating clean food as much as possible. And I would do, kind of like you do, the four cardio sessions a day. So my body is revving up as high as it could. It takes a lot of work. I didn't do this 12-week plan. Okay, I didn't build up body fat and then diet for 12 weeks, okay?
Yeah.
Number one, you're going to be more healthy. And that's what's most important with all this. I was never into this bodybuilding, hey, look at me, look how big I am. For me, it was about health and doing it in the most healthy manner I could. So big weight gains and then, losing it all at once, I knew that wasn't healthy. I know that wasn't the best way to preserve that muscle mass. So stay lean as you can live your life, all right? Eat as many clean calories that you can stay the same weight or lower, and then strategically plan it out. Because if your metabolism is running really high and really hot, eating a lot of food, when it's time during, just say, those last 12 weeks, cut out 200 calories or so, whatever it is, depending, 100 calories, you're a smaller woman.
Then you gradually
lower it down. Your body's used to running hot, and then you can you get leaner eating more calories rather than all of a sudden dropping down to something crazy like 1,200 calories. Because what's going to happen, your body's going to hold on to that body fat. It's not going to get you leaner, and that's when you're going to start dumping all that muscle. As far as what I would imagine, coaching so many people, hearing the sound of your voice, sounding that you're very educated when it comes to contest preparation, what you weighed is what you should have weighed. You didn't magically lose a ton of muscle. You just had an illusion size. You just dropped a lot of water, and that's what made you look so good. To get those hamstrings and glutes harder next time, I would say you probably would have to do what you're doing, just start farther out. Because I started winning the show in August by what I was doing in January.
And I
say this to people is that, look, I have these guys who I competed with who started dieting, 12 weeks before. I started dieting, 7 months before. If there's a God up in heaven, if there's any righteousness in the world, F-I-N-D, if you do believe that I was that meticulous with my eating and those meals and I was that dedicated for 7 months, okay, shouldn't I just knock the socks off of somebody who did it for 12 weeks? If there's a God in heaven, shouldn't I beat their pants off? Even if they had better genetics than me or better shape, and that's how I won. I won it the show in January, okay? A lot of times, how it is that you say, okay, I'm going to change my lifestyle. I'm going to get all my meals, and I got a contest in 12 weeks. When do you really get all your cylinders going? Right when you say you're going to start at 12 weeks, or does it take a couple weeks for you to get all the timing down and all your priorities down? Usually it takes a couple weeks before you even do that. So now you're at 10 weeks, and then you always find out there's higher standards, right? Heck, by 12 weeks, I'm such a machine. While you're just getting into it, so that's how you're going to get the hamstrings and glutes. Just remember, and this is for anybody who's a competitor out there, is don't get all caught up in yourself when you're saying how much food I should eat or how much cardio I should do. Don't stand in front of your bathroom mirror and flex and see those striations in your chest or your arms or your abs. Everybody's going to have those. Who's going to win the show? Play the Ghost of Christmas Future, meaning that if you saw A Christmas Carol with Scrooge, right? You know what I'm talking about? Susan, play in your mind, okay? Scrooge, on A Christmas Carol, they took him into the future and said, if you don't change your life, this is what's going to happen, and Tiny Tim's going to be dead and this and that or whatever, all right? And then they took him into the future. If he does change his life, how happy it's going to be, all right? When it's 12 weeks out, did you say you're at, Susan?
13 weeks out.
Okay, 13 weeks. I want you to sit down, and I want you to think about the pain is. I want you to go 13 weeks in the future if you don't follow through with these disciplines, if you don't do all the things you do, if you become easier on yourself, and then you're on stage, and you're next to that woman who did all her homework, how that's going to make you feel, How are you going to think, wow, I wasted my time. God, if I would have just had 2 more weeks. Take yourself through that pain and now come back into the present and then get to work, you know. Also do the same thing. Go into the future. If you're ripped, if you hit your presentation, if you're posing, if your paint, your suit, is everything perfect? How wonderful that's going to feel. Know that you gave it your all. Okay, how that's going to feel. And then come back to the present and now get to work. All right, so when it comes to hamstrings and glutes, that's the first place that the fat goes on and the last place it comes off.
Contests are won
with the conditioning of hamstrings and glutes. So don't even waste your time looking at your abs or your shoulders and think, boy, I look good. Maybe I can take this day off cardio, or maybe I can eat a little bit more food today. Turn around that painful thing, I can tell you right now. Don't even want to look there. Even though you're in great shape and all the women in your gym tell you look great, at 13 weeks, I know you don't want to turn around and look at your hamstrings.
Not at all.
Right? Well, this is what you're going to do every single morning, Susan. You're going to turn around. That's the first thing you're going to look at.
That is the first thing I do every morning.
Okay, good. So you know how to do this. You know how to work.
Mm-hmm.
You would rather feel the pain today at 13 weeks than feel the pain that day of the contest when you're sitting with that second place trophy because you didn't work hard enough, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think my question comes, too, from that I realized that I was not getting enough carbs. I was on AST's nutrition site, and so I'm really trying to hit those numbers specifically now. I eat clean all the time, same as you. You know, January, I don't do cheat meals. I eat my 8 meals. I eat every 2 hours, and I'm adding more calories and good carbs right now, and I've put on about 3 pounds of muscle. And so I'm just kind of really wanting to maximize my efforts.
I hear that in your voice. Two things to keep your head on straight. Number one is don't worry about you put on 3 pounds of muscle or this or that, because, you know, you follow through with your eating habits. You train like an animal in the gym. You're consistent. You're going to weigh what you're going to weigh. Don't build yourself up that you – because you know what? 3 pounds of muscle, that's a lot of meat. You know, especially on a 102-pound woman when it comes down to contests, you know. I don't want you to be winning this game and looking so great and making these improvements, right? And then you're saying, oh, wow, where did my 3 pounds of muscle go? And you've been winning. You've been training great. You look great. You're better than you were last time. But that 3 pounds of muscle that you capped yourself with gaining, it's gone. And then you're thinking, oh, wow, I didn't do very well. Go to YouTube. Go to YouTube or go to my website at skiplacore.com. Look at my physique, even when I would win, like the 1994 Muscle Mania, and then go, you know, 9 years into the future, or is that 10 years to the 2003 Muscle, 2003 Team Universe. I mean, that's 10 years. That's a guy getting a lot older, too. I was 41 years old. My weight wasn't the same, but I got more conditioned and body parts. Traps or arms or the tie-ins, they just matured with training. If I went I didn't gain as much muscle, then I would be disappointed where the physique is massively better. So what I tell people, and I'm not a real religious guy, but I'll just say this. You do what you need to do in the gym. You follow up with that eating habit. What you weigh is what you weigh. The rest is in God's hands, okay? So don't put things like body fat percentage, those numbers, or weight. You know, don't do that to yourself, because you could be winning the game and be losing. All right. And at the same time, you can lull yourself into a false sense of confidence. There's many times in my competition years where I do really well and then I wouldn't do as well because I would let those numbers influence what I saw in the mirror. Okay.
Yeah.
So
Okay. My trainer tells me to not look at numbers.
right. I totally believe your trainer. They can all, you know, and I said this on the show a couple of times ago, is that you can have great numbers that say X amount at whatever, everyone listening out there, fill in a great number for a body fat percentage and then fill in a great number for weight, all right? Okay? If you look in the mirror and you're not happy with the way you look, it really doesn't matter what those numbers are.
Yeah.
All right? Okay, the same token is, I don't even tell you those numbers, but they're not as good. But you look in the mirror and you're just happy with the way you look, which is true. Are the numbers true or what you see in the mirror is true? So you got to remember that. And here's the thing, Susan, and for everyone out there, these are even for these guys out here, they're not planning on competing, all right? They just want to build muscle, lose body fat, look great in life, okay? Is that those numbers will affect how you eat, and they will affect how you train. You'll lighten up because you think you've got 3 pounds of muscle where you may not really, okay? Or you'll start lighting up, not training as hard, eating more food, having more junk food days, or you might get off your plan and crash your diet, and instead of eating 1,400 calories for you, Susan, when you should be eating that much, you'll crash down to 900 because the illusion in the mirror made you change your plan, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So you know, here's the other thing that I picked out from what you're saying. Don't worry about carbs, okay?
Okay,
I don't mean don't worry about carbs.
No,
but,
you should
you know, carbs
bang me
don't
over the head
make
with that.
You, what's that?
You could bang me over the head with that.
Okay.
I'm trying to embrace them.
Right, right. Carbs, carbs,
to.
Carbs,
yeah.
Carbs. You read all the magazines. I was doing some work on my other business, and it puts me in contact with the show The Big Idea from Donnie Boyce, a personal trainer.
Mm-hmm.
He said, hey, real quick. They were talking about some business matters, and the guy said, real quick, how can I lose 5 pounds from my midsection real fast? And he said, there was a personal trainer from somewhere, I don't know where he was from, but he said, drink, X amount of liters of water, and don't eat any carbs in the morning, all right?
Mm.
Everybody's in this carb obsession. It's calories ingested versus calories burned. Now, of course, you can't keep those calories, those carbs, you can't make them go crazy. But if you make your carbs go crazy, then your calories will go crazy. If you're
right.
going to overeat, it's probably going to be in your carbs, all right? But just remember something. You need carbs for a couple of reasons. One is they help your body process the protein that you eat. The protein is what builds muscle. It helps you in your recovery. You need to have the right amount of carbs. I know that there's some guys out there who – you know, they want to crash diet, they just eliminate all the carbs. And I know you read that in the magazines of that guy on the other end of the gym who's supposed to be so good, or you read that on the message board. You want to eat the right amount of carbs, all right? If anyone wants to know more about that when it comes to carbs, because that's a really good question, Susan, and it's for all of us training in the gym, I want you to sign up. Go to my website, skipfulcore.com, and then sign up for my free e-newsletter. All right. I talked about that on. I do this Your Success series, and I talked about carbs.
Okay, I do get that. Yep.
Yeah, and I talked about that specifically. Okay, you want the right amount of carbs at the right times. They help in the whole process, and I understand the challenge and everything that you heard. So don't be carb obsessed. Be the right balance and nutrient obsessed, and be obsessed with eating those nutrients all throughout the day or your right timing. So. It's not about carbs. It's about those calories. All right, Susan?
Great. Thank you so much for
your
time.
Well, call back. You know, if you have any questions along your journey. One thing, as I coach bodybuilders all over the world, especially with contest preparation, what you need more than anything during these last 3 weeks, the 13 weeks, is certainty and confidence, even if you're doing everything right. And I can be that coach for you. You call me every week with whatever thing that's bothering you, and I'll help you guide yourself into this 13 weeks here. Even if I don't change anything, just hearing me give you that sense of certainty is going to make the process. So make sure you call back, Susan, all right?
Will do. Thank you so much.
Okay, good.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye. Now we have a caller from the 908 area code. Call you there, 908.
Yeah, I'm here, Skip. Hey, it's Dean.
Dean, how are you, sir? You had an assignment that we talked about last week.
Yes, I emailed it to you about 3 a.m. No.
No, I get it. If you have any of the instant message service, you know I'm on the computer at a lot of different times during the day, so I did get that. Now, let's review what we were talking about, Dean. And,
okay.
Now, is that your phone in the background? I'm going to put you on mute right now because there's a lot of noise on your line while I'm talking to you, so I'll come right back to you when I need you to comment.
Okay.
Hold on 1 second.
Sure.
All right. One thing that Dean talked about, and as I coach, and I talk about this a lot, as I coach bodybuilders, fitness enthusiasts, just guys who want to get in shape in the gym all the time, is that one thing I've learned was just how they organize their time, how they organize their thought. It's not so much about the eating plan. It's not so much about the training plan. Heck, I can give you one. If you just follow it, I guarantee you'd get results, okay? But if you don't organize your life or your thoughts or your emotions correctly, then you're not going to use all this information or those training programs or eating programs. And that's when I coach people, when I have a monthly program. Actually, any type of program that you want, if you email me at skip@skipplecore.com, I'll tailor one to you. But what I do is I help people align their lives, align their emotions to really make all those training and nutrition strategies work for them. And what Dean talked about is change. As I've been in the personal development business for 25 years, I mean, you see that you go to your Borders bookstore or Barnes & Noble, you'll see so many people at the self-help section. There's plenty of information out there to help you create change. One thing I've had the challenge with working with people, and maybe this is true of yourself when it comes to building a better body, is not the information, is getting them to do to create that change with the information they already have. And I've always been frustrated with that until I learned that what I need to do is pick out the different parts of the training, the bodybuilding process, put you in a position where I force you to experience one aspect of the bodybuilding and training process. For example, maybe we'll just start with you. I put you on a training program, and then you just get to the gym at the same time every single week as scheduled. Now, that may seem like, well, how hard is that? Okay, for a lot of people, that is hard. Maybe they get to the gym, it's not at the same time. Maybe it's always an option, well, should I train in the morning, train at the night? They decide things like that when they get up in the morning. Let me just tell you something. You want that ultimate physique, and you're waking up every morning deciding when you're going to train. You know, you got that guy next to you that has that great physique that you think, oh, he must be taking steroids or something like that. He knows exactly what he's going to do 3 weeks before on that particular day. He knows what he's going to eat 3 weeks before that particular day while you're trying to decide what kind of bodybuilding and training day you're going to have when you wake up in the morning. The more things I can force you to do to put yourself on autopilot, because there must be 10 to 15 daily disciplines when it comes to what time you wake up. Yes, what time you wake up does matter in the overall picture with that body you have, when you're going to eat your first meal, when you're going to go to the gym, what workout program you're going to have, how you're going to focus in the gym, your pre, your post-workout nutrition, your scheduled meals, the timing of those meals, what you eat throughout the day, what time do you go to bed, what time do you do your cardio, how hard do you do your cardio, what type of cardio do you do. If you look at all these disciplines, there must be 10 or 15 core things you must do every single day just to get yourself in the ball game. Now, you may be doing, think you're doing okay compared to whoever you're comparing yourself to. You don't know what they're doing. You're probably giving yourself a break thinking you're doing everything right. Well, my question would be, I know I should do this. I know I should do that. You got to do all those 15 things exactly right. And those are just the basics. I'm not even talking about the top-level things. I'm talking about the basics. Those 15 things you got to do come hell or high water. They have to become a definite part of your life where you don't even think about them. You're putting your energy and your effort into emotions on how to get that one more rep at 50 pounds, not you're waking up in the morning deciding if you're going to train in the morning or in the night or what you're going to eat that particular day. The people who get ahead, they have these 15 daily disciplines down to a program pattern, all right? And then it's how much emotion, how much knowledge, how much effort they put on top of that. All right, I've used this analogy a lot as I coach and I've been talking on the radio, is that we got guys here that don't even train on a consistent basis. They don't even know what they're going to do when they train. They don't even know the exercise they're going to do before they walk into the gym, let alone being distracted or getting off their plan or not supporting with the right eating habits. And they're worried about, you know, periodization process on this particular training routine for body confusion. You know, you don't need a training program that confuses your body because your head is so gosh darn confused, okay? You need to get in a pattern, like I said, of these 10 or 15 disciplines. And what Dean's assignment was, hey, what are those for you? Because I want to develop a program for all you guys out there, maybe through a 15-week process where all I do is make you focus on that one area of your life when it comes to bodybuilding and training. So you get up in the morning, you already know what you're going to train, you know what time you're going to get to the gym, you know what time you're going to wake up, all right? And we just work on that for a week. So I pound in the importance. We don't take all 15, all 30 things that are swimming around in your head and then try to have you all put it all together, because guess what? You're going to have more of the same. Overwhelm, confusion, you're not going to follow through, you're going to wonder who's doing what, hey, why can't I have this physique? We're just going to work on one area for a week. I'm going to sell it to you. I'm going to pound it down to you, and you're going to follow through for a week before you go on to something else. 15 weeks, big deal. You're in this for the long haul. You know that if you train with focus and intensity and organization, mental and emotional, as well as physical, for 6 months, you're going to be a lot better than doing that same thing for 3 months. You know that if you do that for 2 years, you're going to have a great physique more than if you just did it for 6 months, right? We're in here for the long haul, and 15 weeks of concentrated focus on one area of these daily disciplines, a certain mindset, take you through a 15-week program that's going to take you to school, so to speak, for 15 weeks. So 3 months from now, 6 months from now, 2 years from now, you're a machine. You know, you heard Susan talk about, you can hear it in her voice, how determined she is, that she's a machine. All right, she talked about my training, how I'm a machine. The more machine-like you can get, the more of these disciplines, these aspects of bodybuilding training that you can get down, where you're not thinking about them. It's not, oh, should I do this? It's just actually doing it and then working on becoming better and better at doing it. That's how you become machine-like, and that's how you're going to get that physique. It's not going to be some big old mystery. So, Dean, I'm back on the line with you, so you listed what your challenges were.
Yes, and by the way, I had you on speakerphone. I'm sorry, I forgot I had it on speaker.
That's no problem.
Some noise.
All right.
Okay.
So let's go with number one, and you talked about eating 6 meals per day. That's definitely a organizational, foundational type principle. If you want to have the physique you really want, somehow you're going to have to put that onto autopilot where you just do it. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when I would eat 8 meals a day back years ago, I mean, it was 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, 7, 9. Every single day, I could tell you what time I was going to eat 3 months ahead of time because I put that into my subconscious, and come hell or high water, I ate those meals at that time. So tell me, what's your challenge when it comes to eating that way? What things are you letting yourself get in the way of that? Because I assume you already know that's what you should do. Many things we know we should do. Do I need to convince you how important that is? Or, you know, some guys, they kind of slough off and they say, well, it doesn't matter. 4, 6, really doesn't matter. Do I need to convince you the importance of eating those 6 meals a day?
No, I think I know the importance of it. What happens is I don't schedule the times that I'm going to eat. So something will come up and I'll get carried away, whether I'm at work or I could be doing anything. It really doesn't matter. And then the time goes by, and 5 hours have gone by. I haven't eaten. Another thing is I don't prepare an advanced meal. So the time will come up to eat, and there's nothing to eat. I don't have anything to eat or any time to cook.
Right. Certainly understand all that. What we need to do is start with the bullseye. All right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm using the analogy, if you say you're into archery, right? I can't just tell you to shoot, right? You know, you got to know what you're shooting for. You're not going to hit that bullseye all the time, yet you will know where that bullseye is. So the first thing I just need you to do before – we're going to kind of go through this list quickly, and we can kind of continue this in future weeks, or I can, help coach you this, and you can help me create this program, Dean, is that we want to start with the bullseye, right? So the first thing you need to do, you know your work schedule. You know what time you get up. You know what time you take the kids to school. And, again, I know there's some variances, some emergencies come up, but we're going to build our life what we
around
know is stable. We're not going to not make plans because an emergency might come up, right? You should be able to tell me what time right now when those 6 meals should be. So go ahead. What time should they be?
Okay. Based on a regular day?
Yep.
Okay.
We'll just
all
go
right.
Monday through Friday, because one thing I talk about, too, is if you go Monday through Friday – and just do whatever on the weekend, not go crazy, just don't worry about it so much. You go balls to the wall, all out, Monday through Friday with your eating and training, you're gonna have a great physique. Now, as close to those 7 days as possible, you're going to have even a better physique. But what I'm saying, you can have that physique you want going with all out intensity, all out structure Monday through Friday. So let's talk about, Monday through Friday day for you. So what, real quickly, just throughout those training times, on those eating times. Meal number one, what time?
Okay, 7 a.m., right before I leave to work.
Second meal.
9:30. I have access to Breakfast okay. at work.
Third meal.
12 o'clock.
Okay. Fourth meal.
Fourth meal, 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. Fifth meal.
Fifth meal will be, based on my schedule, 7 o'clock when I get home.
Okay. And then when's your sixth meal?
That would be 9:30 after working out.
Okay, 9:30. All right. So 7, 9:30, 12, 3, 7, 9:30. Now, look, can I get more scientific with this? I know that we've got these I call them really, they're bodybuilding scientists. I go, oh, well, I could see right now, Dean has too much of a gap between meal 4 and 5. That's 4 whole hours. He's not taking that. You know what? You know what? Yes, I could break it down. Like I said, I could go into Dean, you and everyone listening out there, send me an email at skiplacour.com. Ask for access to the members only website. I can take you as far down this rabbit hole as you want to go. I can show you my 11 feedings throughout the day. If you want to be, 100% efficient, okay, with your eating. I know that for all you listening out there, I know we can break it down. Dean just needs to follow through. He can work on those things later, all right? He can build a great physique. He does all those other things, and he does eat at 7, 9:30, 12:30, 3, 7, and 9:30. He can do it, okay? So did you write those down as you're talking to me? Listen to this in a podcast and listen to yourself talking. Boom, you've got the bullseye. Now, as far as preparing meals or what you carry it in or how you take it to work or things will come up like everybody's going to be saying to you, boy, Dean, it looks like you're eating all day long, or they interrupt you during your whatever. You'll find a way to get through all that minutia. You'll find a way to work through that. But without a bullseye, I can tell you something, Dean, is that you didn't spit those out. You didn't spit those times out. So you didn't know exactly what times you're supposed to eat. Now you start tomorrow morning, you write that down, you put that on your desk, you put that on your refrigerator. Heck, next time, you remember how I went to the 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, 7, 9? I told you because I just ate at those times for so many years. In 3 months, you should be able to tell me what time you eat. Boom, 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 boom. Okay, that's the bullseye. Now you work backwards from there, and how are you going to fill that in? All right?
Yeah.
So we have a couple minutes left here, Dean. So I'm going to go through your list, and I want this to be a continuing call because I think this is awesome information for everyone out there. All right, because your challenges are everyone else's challenge. So I'm just going to kind of go through your list, and over the coming weeks, I'm going to have a little segment with you where we're going to break all these things down. So number 2, you talked about break a body part and to 4 to 5 workouts per week. What exactly is the challenge with that? Is that you don't know how to do that, or you want to do it with it's tough with your time?
It's tough with my time. I end up squeezing my whole body into 2 to 3 workouts, and then a lot of times I blow off the third workout, so the whole body doesn't even get trained every week.
We'll start with that next week, Dean, or whenever you call back. I don't want to lock you in. Necessarily, if you can't make it next week. Number 3 was sleep to 7 to 8 hours a day. I want to talk about that because I can let you off out there because sleeping 7 to 8 hours a day is not necessary. All right. Now, I know you guys hear all this information. Back when you were a little kid, remember they used to pound down that you have to sleep 7 to 8 hours a day? Look. It's all about rest and recovery when it comes to training. It's not about sleeping. They're two different things. And I know the young guys out there I don't want to really get too much in the mental thing, but if you can sleep 10 hours a day and convince yourself you're doing something productive for your life, guess what? You're going to sleep 10, 12 hours a day or whatever. No. The most successful people in the world, they don't sleep. Go watch P. Diddy's new show. Tell me he's got a policy that he doesn't sleep and he's highly productive, okay? Now, I know that's not the same as bodybuilding, but look, you don't have to sleep 7 to 8 hours a day. So I'll either empower you with letting you off the hook by thinking that you have to sleep 7 or 8 hours during the day and still have a great physique, or I'm going to call you on your BS and get you to quit being lazy by sleeping 8 hours a day. It's going to happen one of the two for you guys out there, okay? So number 4, stay organized and focus on goals. Number 5 is seek daily inspiration from movies, books, places. That's a good one. 6, Eat 1.5 to 1.5 grams of protein per body pound of weight. We'll talk about that. And then increase strength, chart progress, review progress, keep a daily journal, and seek out help. All right, that's the end of today's show. Make sure you join us next week on Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Training. Have a great week.
Thanks, Skip.
Hi, this is Skip LaCour. Thank you for joining me on this archived or podcasted show. I want to invite you to join me live during the show every Sunday and let me help you solve your bodybuilding and training problems personally. Visit my website at www.skiplacour.com for more information on training, nutrition, supplementation, and motivation. And take the time to sign up on my list for free weekly tips, messages, and website updates that will be sent to you by email. If you have any questions about anything I've discussed during the show, or any other questions for that matter, email them to me at skip@skiplacour.com. I'd also like to take this time to invite you to listen to The Manformation Show. It's a weekly talk show where I discuss strategies that help transform you into the man you really want to be. You can go to www.manformation.com to get more information about this concept that will help you take your life to the next level. Bookmark your web browser now to www.manformationradio.com and join the live show every Saturday morning.